And let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. We will read Acts chapter 24 and then hear a short exposition on that afterwards. Acts 24, verses 1 to 27. As I know, this is something you do each week and read each chapter one after the other. You know that Paul has been arrested for what he was accused of doing in the temple. And so now in Acts chapter 24, we come to his trial. And that's what we'll be reading about. This is the word of the Lord. Please pay careful attention to it as God speaks to you, his people. Now after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, "Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear, by your courtesy, a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander, Lysias, came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him." And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now after many years I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day." But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after two years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Just yesterday, some of us at Grace Reformed Church there in Columbia went through a particular neighborhood seeking to share Christ with others. And so we covered probably about, I don't know, 150 homes or so. But one of the contacts I made was with a lady who was adamantly opposed to organized religion, to the church. As soon as I told her who I was and who I represented, she began to accuse the Church of Jesus Christ of being the very root of all evil, the very root of all terrorism and all genocide and all ethnic cleansing, and all things evil in the world were because of the Church of Jesus Christ. And before I could get a response to her and even say a word, she said to me, "Go find your sheep somewhere else, for in this house live wolves." We know what a dangerous accusation that is. We know what place she has put herself, and she opposes the Church of Jesus Christ. But that was a wildly false accusation against the Church of Jesus Christ. And it would have been easy to defend that, to oppose her arguments, had she given me a chance, but she didn't. It was very quick and very kind of brutal in a certain way. But I saw in her heart a great anger towards the church, which likely meant that at some point in her life, she may have been hurt by someone in the church or the church itself. Because there's no evidence for what she said. We do hear this kind of in other parts of the world, that the church has been accused of this. Either way, though, I have no doubt that she thought it was true. The church is subject to false accusations just like its master. The church will suffer false accusations just like its master Jesus did. And it was a false accusation that put Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, the Apostle Paul also faced false accusations. It was part of his persecution that Jesus said he would suffer for him just as Christ suffered. And so in that way, what we read here is Paul experiencing exactly what Christ had told him would happen to him. It's also part of the Christian life as well, as part of your life as a Christian and my life as a Christian, that at times, because of how we live and what we believe, that we're going to suffer false accusations. Well, here for Paul, in this particular instance, he was falsely accused of creating dissension in the community, a ringleader of a sect, and a profaner of the temple. Now, all of this was brought up to the governor Felix because it meant unrest to Felix. Felix might not have had a dog in the fight, except he didn't want Rome and those over him to be thinking that he couldn't handle Jerusalem, that he couldn't be the governor over this territory that was assigned to him. So all these things were brought up to him, not because the Jews wanted him to correct this doctrinal problem that they had with this Apostle Paul, but they knew that if they appealed to Festus in a civil way, in a civil government way, that they might be able to get Paul arrested for good and therefore stop him from preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. But what was really at the heart of Ananias and the elders who were falsely accusing him was their rejection of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where the problem really was. And so after setting the record straight, as we read here, after Paul sets the record straight and says, "I neither did these things that you're accusing me of, and also where are the people who saw this? Why aren't they here?" So he's appealing to even Roman law for his defense in a very brief way, knowing that his accusers are supposed to be there if he's going to be brought up to trial. So after setting the record straight, Paul takes him to the real issue. And it was because Paul was preaching the resurrection of Christ, whom they had crucified, that he was now on trial. This is what they wanted stopped. This is what they wanted nipped in the bud so that it would not increase and so that it would not take over more and more of Jerusalem. When Paul was being falsely accused, he took the opportunity to speak of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And when you speak of Jesus Christ's resurrection, you have to speak of that thing that happened before the resurrection, which is the death of Christ. And when you speak of the death of Christ, you have to speak of why he died, to save people from their sin. Paul took this opportunity not to spare and save his own body, but to speak of Jesus Christ. And even when his decision on his trial was delayed, what did he do? But continue to speak to Felix, the governor, about the Christian faith, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when someone falsely accuses you, or falsely accuses the church, take a lesson from Paul. Do not be so concerned about what they are saying about you, but take that opportunity to proclaim Christ to them. Because they do not need to know that you are innocent or guilty. What they need is a Savior. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did make his defense of himself based on the truth and the facts. And having done that, he went right to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went right to the heart of the matter because he knew that these Jews, the high priest and these others, it wasn't about him causing trouble. It was about him preaching Jesus Christ and Christ resurrected. So may we learn that from Paul in this chapter. To suffer for Christ's sake and to keep speaking of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. May God give us the insight and wisdom to know how to do that. I can imagine that after being accused and falsely accused, nobody likes that to happen to you. And so we have to remember to keep a godly view of all of this. Just like the woman who, in my face, proclaimed the church to be in the root of all evil. I can see in her face that why she may have believed these things, she had been misled or misinformed or even hurt, possibly. It gives her no excuse for what she said. But it was not a time even then for me to try and defend myself. But had she given me the opportunity, it would have been a time to proclaim what Jesus did to pay for the sins of all those who were exactly maybe like she said. So let us take that opportunity, even this opportunity, to learn from the Apostle Paul and his situation. That when we are falsely accused, to turn people's eyes to Jesus. That they may see Christ and him crucified. That's what they need to hear. And that's what Paul the Apostle did. Thank God for this testimony of Paul that is an example to us. Let's go together now in prayer to God. There are many things we need to lift up to the Lord. Again, as I said this morning, a list that Andrew has given to me. And I know these things are more personal to you than they are to me as you are experiencing them. But please join me as we pray together, asking the Lord to show himself strong on behalf of this church and his church worldwide. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, that you have called us your people. And we have the great privilege, the great joy to call you our God. And these are just not terms, Lord. They depict a relationship. They depict privileges and blessings and promises. So, Lord, we come to you now to exercise one of those privileges, to lift up things that are concerns for us, to lift up people, Lord, who are suffering, to lift up situations in our life that we need your aid and your strength and your power to help us. Father, we do also come in that same relationship, knowing that you are a holy God. And that even though you have made us holy through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can readily confess that even today we have sinned mightily against you. And Father, we ask that you by your Holy Spirit would bring to our minds those sins we have committed, the things we might have said that we shouldn't have said, the way we have spent our time today on this holy day, your day, which is to be separate from all other days. Father, would you use your Spirit to convict our hearts so that we might not only know our sin, but repent of it and turn away from it and seek your grace and power to not live that way again. Father, we know you love the church. We know that because you care for her and you give gifts to her. And so, Father, we pray that you would continue to do that, to give to your church pastors, elders, deacons, a treasurer, and even a presenter. These things, Lord, specifically here for Christ Presbyterian Church. We think, Lord, also of the other churches in our presbytery, in our denomination, who are without pastors and elders. We give you thanks, Lord, that you have pastors and elders here and deacons. We pray, Father, that you would continue to provide for the ones that you have placed here. Strengthen them in their spirit. Help them, Lord, to continue to be above reproach, that they may lead this congregation in godliness, that they may be examples to their flock. We pray, Lord, that you would provide for this church's every need. We also ask, Lord, that you be with those who are going to be attending the Monday Bible study, that what is going to be taught would be truth and encouragement for your people, that they may become even more faithful in their obedience and holy living, that they may understand more fully who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Lord, we do also want to lift up to you Patricia Maxwell, and thankful for the work, the healing that you have brought, and that you would continue to remove what remains of this cancer. We pray, Father, that you would heal Dina of her many ailments. Lord, sickness and suffering can get us down. It can take our eyes off of you and focus on our situation. We pray for Dina, Lord, that you would strengthen her, not only in her body, but also in her spirit, that she may continue to draw near to you and follow you. And Lord, we do pray for the children of this congregation. Lord, we lift them up to you because we know that you love them. We know, Lord, that those born to believing parents are in covenant with you. And so we pray, Father, that they would exercise that covenant, that they would become covenant believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that they would not take for granted the privileges and blessings of being in covenant with you, and that they would grow up to be covenant keepers. We pray this, Lord, for those children who we see here today, and also those children which you have given to be in the wombs of the ladies here. We do pray, Father, that you would be with the parents, that they might raise these children in the nurture and admonition of you, their God. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us where we as parents have failed to do that, and that you would strengthen us, Lord, to have the courage in this society to teach our children your ways and to follow you in all things. Father, we do ask that you would be with the elders who will be meeting at Synod and Presbytery this week. We do pray, Lord, for the students who will be taking exams. We think of Joe Smith. We pray, Father, that you would be with him as he is examined by the Midwest Presbytery. Help him, Lord, to give a good account of his work and his studies and his character. And we pray, Lord, that you would use him as a minister of the gospel to the church where he has been called. We do also ask, Lord, that you provide ministers for Houston and San Antonio. We know, Lord, there are other men who are in the process of even now having received calls, Alan Blackwood and Robert Kelby. And we just pray, Father, that you would be with these men as well as they prepare to be examined, that you would use this time to continue to make them who they need to be, a workman and not ashamed, having studied properly and learned the truth of your word, that they may communicate it to your people. They may do this with faithful obedience and do it with courage and boldness. Father, we do pray for this church, that you would do, Lord, what the Lord Jesus asked you to do, to sanctify this church according to truth and by your Holy Spirit. Lead them in truth. Remind them, Lord, of the things that Jesus has already spoken. Sanctify this church, Lord, in holiness. Father, we do also want to pray for our persecuted brethren in various countries. We pray for them, Lord, because they are living the faith under pressure, under persecution, and under suffering. We ask, Father, that you would sustain them and encourage them. Remind them, Lord, to know and believe that they are sharing in the sufferings of their Master. Pray, Father, that you would sustain them and help them to grow in this time of persecution, and also to be sharing the gospel, even with their persecutors. We pray, Lord, that you would also make us ready for such a time, should that come to us, that we would not care for our bodies as much as we would for their souls. Be ready to give a defense of the faith that we have believed in. And Father, we do ask now that you administer to each one of us tonight in the hearing of the preaching of your word. Lord, that you would be with us, be with the preacher, and be with those who are listening, that we would not be able to walk out of here tonight the same as when we walked in, but that we would be able to say, we have heard God speak, and now we will obey. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.